This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, SEC baseball's taking over. Plus, we'll get to Rusty Harden. What a name for that's probably a fitting name for this whole case. Rusty Harden. We'll get to his audio putting his foot in his mouth, and the latest with Deshaun Watson coming up. A whole lot more throughout the afternoon. Hey, I saw this. You know, I've been tracking the whole PGA Tour and guys going elsewhere to the LIV Golf Tour. By the way, it's spelled L-I-V. I was thinking about this because it's always capitalized. Is it LIV or is it 54? Is it Roman numerals? It's the 54 Golf Tour. I don't know. L-I-V, all capital. I think of Super Bowl 54. But news this morning is Ricky Fowler is going to be participating in the LIV Golf Tour. And of course, Phil Mickelson was reiterated this morning that his appearance will be imminent with that tour. And so what's funny is that Netflix is trying to do, the PGA Tour is trying to do some sort of Netflix show that's similar to The Drive to Survive, the racing show that's been so popular. And the players that were participating, this was already, I believe it's already been filmed and produced, and, you know, they just have to put it out there. But the golfers involved, a bunch of them now, are now going to be part of the LIV Golf Tour, such as Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Sergio Garcia, Ian Poulter. Right, these are guys that you're going to, it's a little bit awkward. You're going to watch them in this Netflix show for the PGA Tour. They're not even going to be, I mean, they may still try to double dip. As I've been saying over the past week, if I'm the PGA Tour, I'm not letting these guys come back and forth. I got to lay some sort of ground rules here. You're going to be losing everybody over to that tour. Now, when it comes to, you know, I think competition is good. I saw New York State just passed some legislation to try to cut down on, like, Ticketmaster. They're the main ones. These ticketing companies and all these fees and all these different things and how they try to get you. And so New York State is trying to crack down. I think every state should do it. I think it's nonsense. Now, going back about 15 years ago, Live Nation came about. I don't know how long Live Nation's been around, but I remember as a concert goer and somebody who used to buy tickets in stock back in the day, when Live Nation became like a thing, and it felt like it became well known for the first time. It was like 15 years ago. And now you had competition. You had Ticketmaster and you had Live Nation. And then the fees couldn't be ridiculous and crazy. They couldn't upcharge you and everything because there was competition. Somebody else would keep them honest. And then Ticketmaster bought out Live Nation, and now there's just Ticketmaster. And Ticketmaster, they own, like, everything. Anywhere you want to buy tickets, even if it seems like it's some other, you know, third-party site, Ticketmaster still has their hands in it. And that's why they could charge you whatever they want. It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. But where else are you going to get your tickets? You can't. They're the only ones. They're the only kids on the block. So I always say competition's always great. It keeps you honest. And so for the PGA Tour, if you handle this right, like, it could become a positive where you may have to adjust some things that could better the sport or the tour when you have this competition. When there's a monopoly, that's where things aren't very good. If Joe was here, he'd be telling you about the wrestling world, where wrestling was at its best when I grew up watching wrestling in the 90s, because you had ECW and you had WCW and you had, at the time, WWF, and then Vince McMahon bought out everybody. And it was just the WWF, then they became the WWE, and the product has really suffered. Because you have no competition. You could do whatever you want. And what are the fans going to say? There's no other wrestling company to go watch. You're the only show in town. So you could do whatever you want. You have nobody keeping you honest. So competition can always be a good thing. But you can't lose that competition if you're the PGA Tour. By the way, when it comes to tickets, the Morrow Midday Show did not do Dave Matthews Band this weekend. But I was keeping an eye on it because I was on the fence. Maybe I'll go. I've seen Dave a bunch, and so it'd have to be the right situation. Friday, I was feeling kind of lazy. Here's how big of a nerd I was. Friday night, I'm a SiriusXM subscriber. Every Friday night, they stream Dave Matthews Concert live. So I listened. I wasn't there at the concert, but I did. I got Dave Matthews. He came out with the wine. I got the Dave Matthews Band of Wine.
Wow.
Yep. We had a full Dave Matthews experience.
How is the wine?
It's
Have
good.
You tried it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I cracked it open Friday. I put the concert on, and I just relaxed and listened to Dave play, you know, down the road. I wasn't there, so I listened for free. Now, it's not the same, right? You go to a concert to also see the visuals, and, you know, they're high-energy performers. But I at least listened to it, so I felt like this is okay, and I thought, maybe I'll go tomorrow. And then Saturday, it was raining, at least where I live, the whole day. And that did not put – I felt like, I don't really feel like going to a concert. It's been raining all day. I think it stopped raining for the concert, but, you know, when it's raining – now, you went out and golfed, so, you know, it's different, I guess. But for me, it was raining Saturday. At that point, I was already – okay, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting inside and just relaxing.
Oh, I was checking the ticket prices on the course. There's no doubt about it. But like you were saying, Luke, if you find a good ticket, nowadays it says, like, what, $80? You're like, okay, that's not terrible. And then you go to check out, and it's $135 because of all the servicing fees, a convenience fee. I'm sorry. What is that?
Yeah. They also hit you with, like, a printing fee if you're going to, you know, print them at home or just send them to your phone. An email fee. Come on, get out of here with all your fees. It's ridiculous. So I know states are trying to crack down. The thing with Dave was different. I assume it's a Ticketmaster thing. I don't know. Maybe it's Dave Matthews. I have not dealt with this with any other concert experience, I don't believe. But when you go to buy tickets, or at least when I was, it puts you like in a waiting room.
Mm.
It puts you in queue. And then as you're sitting there waiting just for your chance to get the tickets, it has the disclaimer that says something like prices may vary based off of, I'm trying to think of the terminology. Prices may vary based off of demand, I think it was.
Mm.
I think that's wrong, too. Tickets to a concert should be what they are.
Yeah, no doubt.
And this was on Ticketmaster's site. They're telling you, like, hey, if more people are trying to buy, we're going to up the prices on you because more people are trying to buy them.
No shame.
Yeah.
No shame.
I think that's wrong. The price should be the price. Now, it could change on a third-party site because that's somebody selling their tickets. You get closer to the event. They may lower the price. How come whenever I go to Ticketmaster, the price is different every day? What's going on here? To me, the price should be the price. Maybe that's not good business, but you set the price. Hey, it's $80 to go to Dave Matthews. It will always be $80. I don't want to log on the week of the con. Oh, no, it's $100. How do the tickets go up? Get out of here.
Standing room, by the way, $80.
That's true.
Standing
yeah.
room only. That was what got me in the end. Like, I'm cool. I'll stand up the entire time, but I'd like to have a designated seat where I know I can go and be comfortable where I'm at.
It's true. You're joining the club. You're feeling sore after golf.
Oh.
You want to have a seat at a concert.
Luke, I don't know what's happening.
What happens to me. When you get older?
I feel 47 today. I don't understand it, but I feel 47.
Growing up, my buddies and I, we used to go out on the lawn at the amphitheaters. No problem. It'd be muddy out there. You'd be rolling around. Who cares? Having fun. Now, yeah, I want a seat. I want to be able to sit down and relax for at least. I'll stand. No problem. I stand for most of the Lumineers show. But I want the option. That if I want to sit down and take a load off for a song or two, I can do that.
Yeah, I don't want to be packed in there like sardines Premier League game. Like, that's what they do. They just all stand and turn to the side, and I feel like that's what we were going to get at Dave Matthews on a Saturday night.
If I had never seen Dave, I probably would have went this past weekend.
Right.
I heard good things from everybody that went. There seems to be a big Dave Matthews population around here because he always comes to Charleston, and I always see people talking about it online. Big Dave Matthews fans in the Lowcountry. And I love Dave Matthews. But I've seen him, I don't know, maybe 5 times in my life. I'll see him again, but I was in, no sense of urgency to see him this weekend. I listened to it instead, sitting out on the porch like I was Bobby, except instead of watching a game, I was listening to a concert out there.
Did you have anything on the TV, or were you just listening to the music, having a good time?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I had something on the TV. It was on probably baseball. I'm trying to think back to Friday night. Must have been baseball. There was no NBA, but it was on mute, right? And just,
yeah.
It's background. No, I was outside listening. By the way, I'll say this for Dave. It was about a 3-hour show.
Really?
No opening act, and they played for about 2 hours, 45 minutes. So
wow.
You got your money's worth. That's a long time. And now they only did, like, you know, 20 songs. They turned songs into 20 minutes sometimes. But they were out there for almost 3 hours. That's impressive.
He'll strum on the guitar for 6-7 minutes during a song, and all you got to do is just sit there and enjoy it.
That's right.
It. That's Dave right there.
I think Seek Up Friday Night, they turned it into a 20-minute version. I thought, all right, come on to the next one. What are we doing here? It was for me. I was listening for free, so it all worked out. If you went to Dave Matthews Friday or Saturday, I hope you had a good. See, that's the other problem. And I love Dave, and they're great performers. I never like the set list. And the thing is, he does 2 stops in a city. They played Charleston Friday, Saturday, and the Dave Matthews Band's fans are so hardcore that you're going to both shows. So Dave will mix it up because if you're coming to both shows, he doesn't want you to hear the same set list. So now you got 45 slots to fill, 45 different songs. And so I understand maybe why it's done, but, you know, I want to hear ants marching. if I'm going to go see Dave. I want to hear the hits. I want to hear whatever else, whatever your favorite song is. Crush. And all these other great things. And, you know, you don't get it very often. Anyways, I digress. Oh, speaking of golf, I meant to get to this. Make sure you sign up for the Summer Golf Tour. I'm sure it is already sold out for today. But every Monday at 8 a.m., the new foursomes go on sale. And it's the 2022 Summer Golf Tour going on throughout the summer. And this morning we put out the foursomes for the Rivertown Country Club. And let me check here to see if they're still available, which would be a huge – that would be a huge upset. But you could get your foursomes for 98.9. And it does not say sold out yet online, so I don't know. You could go online and try to get a foursome if you haven't already. They're probably sold out, and the website's just lagging behind because they usually sell out in minutes. But every week throughout the summer, we put new foursomes on sale at a different golf course every week for 98.9, available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. If you didn't get in today, stay tuned for next week for the links at Stono Ferry. Set your alarm. Put it on the calendar. Every Monday, 8 a.m., the new foursomes drop. All right, now let me get to this. SEC is taking over the baseball world. Right, Tennessee is the clear favorite. In fact, according to the metrics, Tennessee is one of the best teams we've ever had in college baseball. They've scored the second most runs ever. They're projected to have three first-round picks, which is just the second time that that's happened for a team. They're expected, actually, to have maybe up to 20 players drafted over the next couple of years, which would be absurd. That's almost the entire team. Tennessee baseball is really good. Now, when you look at SEC football, they have had three straight national champions from, you know, three different teams. LSU, Alabama, Georgia. If Tennessee pulls this off, SEC baseball will do the first. Will do the same thing for the first time ever. You go from Vanderbilt to Mississippi State to Tennessee. First time the SEC will have ever done that, three straight. And here's the thing. These are teams that aren't used to winning. Now, Vanderbilt has built a great program, but that was just their second national championship when they won a couple years ago. And their first one was just 8 years ago. They had not won until 2014. For Mississippi State, that was their first ever national championship. And if Tennessee wins this year, it would be their first ever national championship. The first time the SEC or an SEC school actually won the national championship, maybe you remember, it was Georgia in 1990, 44 years into the whole tournament. It took the SEC almost half a century to finally have a champion, and it was just over 30 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And prior to this three-year stretch, only four SEC schools had ever won a national championship. Now, we may get three in a row. And the last two may be doing it for the first time ever. The SEC this year had nine tournament teams, the most in baseball, and they have had a team in the championship four straight years. That's the first time that has happened for one conference. One conference putting a team in the baseball national championship four straight years since USC did it themselves for the Pac, what were they, the Pac-8 back then, whatever they were called, back in the 70s when USC was dominant. The SEC, they have the favorite this year in Tennessee. Last year was an all-SEC final like Georgia-Alabama football was a few months ago. But the difference, again, with baseball and football is that for SEC football, it's the traditional schools. Like, you're used to Alabama, LSU, Georgia, you're used to them being some of the best teams in the country competing for national championships and, yes, even winning them. Those programs all have great traditions. Those were not their first national championships. That's the big difference. It's not as surprising. The biggest surprise was Georgia just because they hadn't won in 40 years, but they were knocking on that door ever since. But in baseball, right, these are teams winning for the first time. SEC teams that are sprouting up as championship teams for the first time ever. And when you look at the college baseball tournament right now, I watched some college baseball over the weekend. I was watching my Huskies. Two SEC teams have already advanced. Six others are still alive. We'll see what happens today. And only Georgia has been eliminated of the nine so far. They had a pretty good weekend. In fact, on Saturday alone, the SEC went 8-1 and averaged 14 runs per game on Saturday. They're putting up football scores. We know the SEC rules football. They've gotten better at basketball and, of course, have one of the blue bloods in Kentucky. And now they've taken over baseball as well. They're doing the same thing in baseball that they have in football. The difference is it's more expected in football. You expect Saban to be winning championships. LSU, last three coaches have all won a championship there. Brian Kelly will have the same expectations. Yeah, Georgia went 40 years, but they were always close, certainly under Kirby Smart, to winning a national championship. Now You get Mississippi State for the first time ever. Tennessee may get their first one ever. Vanderbilt has won their first two over the past 8 years. You get teams that you're not used to seeing at the top of the sport out of the SEC. And I'm not an SEC guy. I'm a Big East guy. I'm a UConn guy. Hopefully they win tonight and stay alive. But what the SEC is doing in baseball over these last couple years has been really impressive. Now, speaking of which, Tennessee is the favorite. There was a Tennessee fan that got kicked out from the game. I guess this was yesterday. It happened over the weekend. He got kicked out of a game. He went outside. He shaved his mustache and then tried to come back into the ballpark thinking, they're not going to recognize me now. And he got caught, and this time they handcuffed him. The cops were there, and they, I guess, arrested him, or at least just handcuffed him to take him out of the ballpark. He thought he was sly, shaving the mustache to try to gain re-entry after already getting kicked out of the ballpark.
I'll tell you what, that's a pretty savage move right there, Luke. You know, I'm sure this guy, if he had a thick, full mustache, it was probably very difficult, you know, to get rid of that mustache. So that shows commitment from the fans that they are with this Tennessee team through and through, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the question is, how does he shave the mustache, though? Does he have a razor in the car?
Ooh, now we might have to investigate this guy. Because if you just got a razor blade in the car, let's have a conversation, maybe get the police involved.
Yeah, does he have a straight edge? Does he have like an electric razor that's running on, well, I guess it wouldn't be electric. Does he have a razor that runs on batteries that he uses? Because as you said, if you have a thick mustache, and this guy saw the before photo, he had the sideburns, he's bald on top, but he's got the sideburns and he's got a thick mustache. He's an older gentleman. You got that thick mustache, that, you know, it could be difficult to chop that thing off. Does he keep a razor in his car just in case? Like, hey, if I ever get kicked out of a game, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to shave this mustache, and they'll never know it's me. And a mustache can be a big difference. You could look a lot different with or without a mustache, but this guy wasn't fooling anybody. I guess he got kicked out last year as well. So he's built a reputation. They said, look out for that mustache guy. He always causes problems around here.
They've got wanted posters in Omaha for this guy waiting for him.
He's the anti-Bobby Valentine. Bobby Valentine got kicked out of a game, and we had Bobby V. This was the one thing I forgot to do this morning. I meant to grab the audio from when Bobby V came on the show a couple years ago. Because everybody knows about the incident when he was with the New York Mets. He gets kicked out of the game. He comes back in the dugout wearing those fake glasses that have the fake nose and the mustache. Right, and he hangs out in the dugout, and nobody, and or at least the umps didn't notice. The TV cameras noticed, and they were talking about it on the broadcast, but the umps didn't notice, and Bobby V was in the dugout for the rest of the game. By the time he came back, it was like the final inning. But it worked. He added a mustache. They didn't know it was him. This guy tried to remove the mustache. They knew it was him, the anti-Bobby V. But I meant to grab the audio because Bobby Valentine told a story that is not as well known, but he told it here on the Morrow Midday Show 2 years ago when we had him on, of how he did the same thing way back in the 80s when he was managing the Texas Rangers, but nobody really knows that story. And it was out in Minnesota, and he was suspended from the game. So it was somewhat similar. He was going to go sit in the outfield while he was suspended, sit in the outfield stands. And so he did the same thing. He gave himself like a fake mustache, and he grayed his hair. At the time, it wasn't gray yet. And he got on the escalator to go up to the upper deck. And as he tells the story, right, he's going up. A Twins fan is on the escalator coming down. He said like something along the lines of like, hey, Bobby, good to see you. And Bobby V realized, like, oh, I guess my outfit isn't very, very good. They still know who I am. As he went out to the outfield to watch the game when he was suspended. But Bobby V would add a mustache so you wouldn't know who he was. This guy trying to take away the mustache still didn't work. The other thing that stood out from the college baseball tournament over the weekend is the Campbell Camels. Now, a pack of cigarettes was noticed in the dugout.
Uh-oh.
And they were playing, I think, in the same group. At Tennessee there, and it's a tobacco-free campus. I also think college baseball across the board is tobacco-free at this point. Minor league baseball has tried to do something similar to try to curb the chewing tobacco, and they don't really enforce it in minor league baseball. But in college baseball, it was explained that the cigarettes, they had a pack of cigarettes in the dugout, and if somebody was seen using tobacco, I think they would have to forfeit. So they picked it up on the broadcast during an interview in the dugout that you could see in the background. There was a pack of Marlboros on the top of the dugout step or the seat. And when Campbell was asked about this, the school or the program, because this is a big no-no, no tobacco, they said it was a good luck charm, that it was empty, and it was a good luck charm.
Okay.
Now, are we buying this? Is that a cover-up? Because somebody, maybe it's the head coach, is ripping, you know, heaters in between innings, and the cover-up is, no, nobody's smoking these cigarettes. It's just a good luck charm. Or do you buy the story as truth, or do you think this was a cover-up?
No, so it was a pack of Marlboros or a pack of Camels?
No, see, that's the thing. If it was a pack of Camels, I would buy it and say, okay, I get the good luck charm because they were the Campbell Camels.
Yeah.
But no, it was a pack of Marlboros.
You just had a pack of Marlboro Reds sitting out there? Oh, yep. The head coach, one of the trainers, is definitely burning heaters in between innings. There is no doubt about it. No doubt. We got to, you know, launch an investigation with this now, Luke, because if there's not a pack of Camel cigarettes, your team name is the Camels.
Right.
What are you doing there?
Yeah, that's a big missed opportunity. I mean, there's got to be a sponsorship opportunity. I don't think a college baseball team wants to take on a cigarette company as a sponsor, but that's perfect.
Bring back those old 70s ads. Those would be sweet.
Yeah, it was a Joe Camel. He was the coolest. Not that smoking cigarettes is necessarily cool. I'm not trying to condone that. But Joe Camel, come on, that guy was the best. And then they passed that legislation, like, what was it, 20 years ago? They can't advertise. They used to be in every magazine. There used to be billboards. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when I was a kid growing up. In my Rolling Stone magazine, every magazine. There'd be so many cigarette ads, including Joe Camel. There'd be billboards now. Like, you can't advertise like that. But the Campbell Camels could do your advertising for you. A pack of Marlboros instead. Yeah, it seems like a weird good luck charm. An empty, I don't know the origin story. Maybe somebody found it in a dugout one time and they went on a winning streak. I don't know. But to have an empty pack, a quote-unquote empty pack of Marlboros in the dugout, seems a little sketch to me.
Maybe there was a promise to the team. Maybe a couple, you know, starters really enjoy, you know, a nice cigarette after a game or something. So they leave the pack there and say, hey, boys, we got to go win this. If we win, that pack of cigarettes is for you right there once we get out of the stadium.
That's fair. That's not a bad theory. That could be like the motivation for these guys.
Go
win. And yeah. Sounds like great parenting, right? You do your homework, I'll give you a cigarette afterwards. Right? You go pitch well on the mound, you can smoke a Bernie outside when we're done. I don't know. But I think maybe it was just more of a cover-up. They got eliminated over the weekend anyway, so I guess the point is moot by now. Hey, while we're on the subject of baseball, a couple of things. The NL East starting to get a little more interesting. The Phillies fire Joe Girardi and then win all three games over the weekend. And the Braves have now won five in a row as they get back to 500 or over 500 for the first time since they were 2-1. And the Marlins, like I told you, the Phillies had a positive run differential when they fired Joe Girardi. Tells you they're underachieving. Now suddenly they've won four in a row. Maybe they get hot. I warned against the turnaround last week. The Marlins still have a positive run differential. Maybe they, too, get hot. So my point being that this NL East could become a little interesting. The Mets go through a tough stretch right now. They're out on the West Coast for about 2 weeks. The Braves and Phillies are playing good baseball. The Braves are about, what, 8.5 out from the Mets. We still have so much season to go. The Mets are notorious chokers. I think this NL East could get tighter as the summer goes on. A couple of these other teams are starting to play better. But here was, you know, we love our Spanish broadcast here in the Mara Midday Show, so we have to play this clip. Bryce Harper hit a game-tying grand slam in the eighth inning yesterday against the Angels. He was all fired up after he hit it. Here's how the grand slam sounded. I love this call. The Spanish broadcast of Bryce Harper's grand slam for the Phillies yesterday.
Bueno, los fanáticos se paran, amigos. Oportunidad de oro para los Phillies aquí. El empate en la goma. Con las bases llenas, Iglesias contra Harper en 3-2, el lanzamiento, batazo grande de Harper, la bola se va, se va.
Great call for the Bryce Harper Grand Slam. Keep an eye on that National League East. The Braves are playing better baseball. The Phillies are on a winning streak after firing their manager. The Marlins are even playing better than their record indicates. And the Mets, even though they have the best record in the National League, it sounds crazy, but it's hard, still hard, to trust the New York Mets. I think the NL East will become more interesting as the summer goes on. When we come back, we'll get to the Rusty Harden comments from Friday about Deshaun Watson and the latest involving Deshaun. Tomorrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Tomorrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
He wakes up in the morning, does his teeth bite to eat, and he's rolling. He never changes a thing. The week ends, the week begins. She thinks we look at each other, wondering what the other is thinking, but we never say a thing.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Now, they did play this, I think, the first night, Friday night. It's, you know, they, man, unfortunately, they had to kick Boyd Tinsley out of the band, who played the violin, and for good reason. He did some bad things, so he got fired from the band a few years ago. They don't necessarily miss Boyd, but they do miss that violin. Ants Marching specifically, you hear it so well in that song. It's a different, when they play these songs live now, Tripping Billies, Ants Marching, when you don't have that violin, and they have to, instead they've increased the horn section, or Tim Reynolds will pick up the slack on the guitar, it's just a different sound. Still sounds good, but it's not the old classic that you're used to hearing with some of those Dave songs. If you went out and saw a DMB over the weekend, hopefully you enjoyed the shows. And hopefully the rain stayed away throughout, I think for the most part. It did not rain at the actual concert for most of the weekend. Hey, Deshaun Watson, so the latest, as we expected, a 24th woman has filed a lawsuit against Deshaun today. We knew that was coming down. According to reports over the weekend, it seems like the NFL finished up their conversations, interviews, interrogations, however it went, with Deshaun Watson, leading people to believe we may get some sort of verdict soon on what the NFL is going to do with this whole case and what type of suspension we may be looking at. And then, of course, there was the audio from Friday. Now, we mentioned this while we were on the air because this audio came out while we were on the air Friday. And mentioned it in passing before we closed out Friday's show. You probably have heard it by now. In case you haven't, here was the latest audio from Rusty Hardin, Deshaun's lawyer, that has been making all sorts of waves here the last couple of days. This was Rusty Hardin going on the sports talk station in Houston, 610. And here's what Rusty had to say Friday.
I don't know how many men are out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending, all right? Maybe there's nobody in your listening audience that ever happened to. I do want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime, okay? Unless you are paying somebody extra or so to give you some type of sexual activity, it's not a crime. And so at the end of the day, that's another thing that would affect conduct. Doing something or saying something or being a way that makes you uncomfortable is not a crime. And so we've had two grand juries find that, and nobody seems to want to listen.
That was Rusty Hardin on Friday. Now, the guy knows more about the law than I'll ever know and knows loopholes, certainly, in the law more than I ever will. The last part, I tend to disagree with, where he says if you make somebody uncomfortable, that's not a crime. I mean, maybe technically, but I know of people who have gotten in trouble for sexually making people uncomfortable and have gotten in trouble, whether it's with the law or just in their own right, which is kind of the idea here. And when I talk about Deshaun, I don't necessarily talk about, like, oh, he should be in jail. That's a conversation we could have another time. I look at it just from the eyes of the NFL. How is the NFL going to respond? Because we've moved past most of the legal situation. Now it's on the NFL to make their determination. But a lot of, like, the sexual harassment that you hear from, like, when celebrities get in trouble for things like this, a lot of it is just simply that, by making somebody uncomfortable. And when you do it at their workplace, that just makes matters even worse. That's supposed to be some sort of safe haven where you don't have to worry about that. Even if you are a massage therapist, don't be a Neanderthal and tell me that's part of the job. That if you're a massage therapist, like, hey, this is just what you do, which is also kind of what Rusty Hardin was alluding to about, like, you know, who hasn't gone in for a massage and had something like this happen? I think probably most people. Unless you're Robert Kraft, you know, looking for something like that, and obviously Deshaun Watson. Now, Rusty Hardin did walk back the comments afterwards on Friday, which tells you that something said there probably shouldn't have been. Because, like, when you took the SATs back in the day, if you took the SATs and you felt good about how it went the first time, you probably weren't taking them a second time. You thought, no, that's a good enough score. That could get me into the school I want. Everything went well. I feel good. You retake the SATs when you thought, I didn't do so well the first time, let me try to correct it. And when you make comments on the radio and then have to come out with a statement afterwards, you don't put out that statement if you feel good about the things you said on the radio. You're not going through the trouble of doubling down, or in this case, walking back. You do that when you feel like, oh, you know what, that probably didn't go as well as I had planned. Just like back in the day when you were taking the SATs and thinking, oh, you know what, maybe I should take it a second time, or if you're ever a certain age, let me just go take the ACTs instead because that's easier and I'll get a better score there. But originally it was, no, nothing happened, 100% untrue, to then, well, it was consensual, to now, well, you know, happy endings. As long as Deshaun's not paying extra for it, it is what it is. Now, I heard TJ Houshmandzadeh, I thought, made an interesting point over the weekend on our sister station. He's obviously a longtime NFL player, was a longtime NFL player. He made an interesting point that he said, as a football player, he was surprised just by this idea from Rusty Hardin. Because when he would go get his massages, he, as he would put it, right, he was never in any type of mood for something like that to hopefully happen. He never went into some sort of massage thinking like, ooh, right, maybe I'll get lucky by the end of this thing. Because as a football player, you know, your body's your temple. You got to take good care of it, and you're putting yourself through the ringer. Now, I know for Deshaun, maybe this was all in the offseason, but nonetheless, you're still working out, and, you know, you got to take care of your body. Houshmandzadeh was saying, you know, his massages were so painful that that thought would never even enter his mind that he was in a mood where he was, like, in a sexual mood. No, he was in a painful mood, and as Hoosh would tell the story, instead, what was in his mind was more of like, hey, if you do that again, I'm going to start throwing fists in here because it was so painful. Because you get like a deep tissue massage that you're working on certain areas that are ailing you because you train your body so hard or you take so many collisions during the season that, you know, you need some serious work on that body. And so as Hoosh would say it, as he told the story, I heard him tell it over the weekend, right? Whenever he went for a, like, that was never even a thought in his mind. He was never in that frame of mind. Instead, it's like, wow, this is very, I can't wait for this to be over. This is painful. Get me out of here. But that's what's necessary for the NFL athlete to keep their body, you know, in check. In fact, you almost, you know, I know like a lot of men don't like if they get a massage from another man, even though it's a professional setting. But in that case, right, when Houshmandzadeh was talking about you need like a real tough, rough massage that's going to like beat you up. And you need a strong person in there really digging in on you. You don't look at it as like some sort of sexual experience. It's the part of the recovery for the NFL athlete. We'll see what sort of verdict Goodell comes out with, but you know, it's hard to at this point. I know if you're a Clemson fan, if you grew up watching Deshaun at Clemson, you're partial to him. I don't know. I find it hard to defend the guy when it comes to at least the eyes of the NFL. Again, I'm not telling you go put him in jail or anything. But I think maybe like a year suspension. Because as I said, with the women in the lawsuits, and people are saying, ah, they're just out for money. Well, you know, the way this whole thing has played out, that if you were to believe these women, if they were telling the truth, the only way they could try to punish Deshaun at this point is by a payday. And now that's no longer a punishment because of this huge contract he signed with the Browns. But he has not spoken to the media since his press conference introducing him as a member of the Browns. Has not spoken to the media since. And when he did speak to them that day, right, wouldn't answer those questions. You get Rusty Hardin talking about this on Friday. Right, just happy endings. He didn't pay extra for it. There's nothing wrong there. Who cares if he made some people uncomfortable at their place of business? That's not illegal. When it comes to the NFL, you don't have to do something that is illegal. You just have to make the shield look bad. And I think Deshaun has certainly done that. I think you have to go pretty harsh with the suspension for Deshaun Watson, especially with the way the Browns structured their contract with Deshaun to try to help him out with any suspension this year. If I'm Goodell, I'm saying, no, that's not flying under my – you're not going to try to – trick us with your cute contract. Right, the only punishment that Deshaun may feel, if any punishment at all, may come from some sort of severe suspension from the NFL. Rusty Hardin, though, making waves in the sports world with those comments Friday on Houston Radio. When we come back, it's time for Trent Stakes. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We'll get back to the NBA Finals coming up a little bit later on, plus Rick Barry, NBA legend, scheduled to join us at 2:30 to talk about his Warriors evening the series last night, heading back to Boston. But we do it around this time each and every day. We find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The Radio Cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, we did mention that I had a long weekend of golf this past weekend. It was awesome. A little sore today, obviously, with the back. The wrists hurt a little bit. But I tell you what, if like you mentioned, if Live Golf wants some ratings, you know, they want to hear a lot of screams, a lot of expletives, a lot of good times being had, I think I should get a call, quite honestly. I mean, shooting below 100 both days, I'm not complaining about that whatsoever. I know some, you know, golf fiends around here are going to go crazy about me saying I'm happy with under 100. But for a guy who hadn't played a full round of golf in about 10 years, I was quite happy with myself. On the golf course, not feeling great today, but I am eyeing Live Golf as we speak, Luke, if they need a boost in ratings for the YouTube numbers. Because, I mean, if Dustin Johnson's going to make more just signing with Live Golf than the Tiger Woods his entire career with the PGA, which, by the way, seems completely backwards and so strange to me that I still don't understand that the PGA Tour brings in $1 billion a year in revenue, and these guys still, like Tiger Woods, it took him, what, his entire career to make $100 million on the course? Maybe it's tough to compare, obviously, like football and basketball contracts to golf contracts, which is not really a contract. If you don't make the cut, you don't get paid, which, again, kind of strange in my eyes. But we'll see how this Live Golf stuff works. Dustin Johnson's already there on the course practicing, so I'm pretty pumped up about it. I'll definitely tune in. But if they need a boost in ratings, you know, you just call your boy. I'm available. Absolutely.
For only a fraction of the price for Dustin Johnson's $125 million.
Just give me a plane ticket. I'll do it for $100. There's no doubt about it, Luke. Come on now.
Did you say that was your first full round in, what, 10 years?
I haven't played. I played 9 holes here and there, but I haven't played a full round. And, yeah, and trust me, golf might not seem like the most strenuous activity there is out there. You know, you play pickup basketball for about an hour and a half, 2 hours every Wednesday, by the way, hoping to get out there with you at some point. You know, maybe dish out a couple assists, hit some corner threes, PJ Tucker, that's my game. No, but, yeah, I hadn't played in a while. And let me just say this about golf, once again, reiterate. Don't take it serious. Everybody that I was playing with, you know, they were taking it serious at first, and I was kind of like the tension breaker in the room. Like, hey, we don't need to be worried about this because none of us are going to make any money off this. None of us are going pro. Let's just enjoy ourselves. And you echo those sentiments as well, Luke. Just enjoy yourself when you're out on the golf course. If you're playing professionally, yeah, you can get frustrated, but who cares? At the end of the day, you hit a bad shot, you hit a bad shot. Go pick it up, go drop it somewhere, take a stroke and move on, Luke. That was my whole entire mindset for the weekend of golf.
Yeah, I rarely golf, but I always hear from people that golf far more often that they'll tell me, like, it was their best round when they were distracted or when they would have other people that they were trying to enter. Like, when you're not as focused on the actual golf and the shots, when you're playing loose, that's when people actually seem to, like, play better. If you take it too seriously, that's where your golf game will probably suffer, and you just won't have as much fun out there. And I struggle at that at times as well because I can be very competitive. But when you hit the golf course and it's just you and buddies, you're not playing like in a tournament or for money, just go out there and have fun. Bring some drinks, some music, play loose, and your golf game will probably benefit from it.
Yeah, just go enjoy yourself. Now, granted, Luke, there was I was screaming every so often because I'd hit a couple good shots feeling good, and then I'd top one and go 15 yards. So besides that, you know, I picked up a couple putts and just say I add a stroke to it because I'm not putting. I'm so frustrated.
Yeah.
But you got to put that behind you. Move on and just go play the great game of golf that we all absolutely love,
Luke.
So I had a very good time. Now, speaking of the NBA Finals, what's going on with Jason Tatum? 21 points in the first half, finished with 28, had 7 in the second half. And I know a lot of people are hating on Draymond Green right now for the way he played in Game 2, but that's the recipe for the Warriors. If he's going to play that good of defense and do what we know him to do and get under people's skin, the Warriors are going to win this series. And if Jason Tatum doesn't step up in the big moments week after week after week, Luke, and I know everybody wants to call him a superstar, but you have been, I wouldn't call you a hater of Jason Tatum, but a skeptic. There's no doubt about it, because when we see 7 points in the second half for 21 in the first, that just doesn't make sense. And we also called it on the show on Friday that there was no way that Al Horford and Robert Williams and all the guys that stepped up in Game 1, Marcus Smart, were going to do it again. I believe Al Horford and Marcus Smart combined for 4 points in total.
Yep.
But I do think Boston, they have to win this Game 3. We'll call a must-win for every single game in this series, but this is a Boston must-win. If the Warriors come in there, Game 3, first one in Boston, and win convincingly, this series could go very, very downhill for the Celtics very quickly. But on the flip side for the Warriors, you got to have guys step up. Jordan Poole had 17. Mm-hmm. Like you said, that was great. Steph Curry obviously sat out majority of the fourth quarter, still had 29. But we've seen in all the championships that the Warriors have won, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, David Lee back in the day, role guys step up, you know, and actually perform. When Steph wasn't performing his best, roles have kind of flipped, but you still need 18 to 24 from Andrew Wiggins, at least 15 from Klay Thompson if you want to win this series. Kevon Looney played better in this game, went 6 of 6, I believe, had 12 points. He needs to be a bigger presence, but I do believe that if Boston doesn't win this game 3, this series turns complete 180, Luke, and it's going to go sideways very quickly.
Yeah, certainly, because at that point you'd be looking at right only that fourth quarter in game one for Boston. Yeah. Otherwise, I imagine they'd be pretty controlled in the series. When you look at last night's game, Tatum, if you take the top two scorers for Boston, top two scorers for Golden State, Boston was outscored by 1 point, and yet they still lost by 20 because everybody else was so bad for Boston and much better for Golden State. And in regards to Draymond Green, I thought he was great last night because he only took 3 shots, didn't shoot as much as game one. He can't throw it in the ocean these days. He had 9 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. That's a pretty good stat line. And then the most important thing, like you touched on, is just he was such a pest last night that he probably got into the minds of some of those Celtics players and was such a – he's one of those classic guys that you hate him when he's not on your team, you love him when he's on your team. The Warriors, his teammates, I'm sure, love him. And Draymond, even though he only had 9 points, I thought played a huge role in the Warriors winning that game.
And immediately hopped on his podcast after the game. Savage move. Savage move putting that out. Good for Colin Coward and the volume there, getting those podcasts after every single game. Because you know at some point Draymond's going to have a really bad game and say a lot of things he probably shouldn't say that the producer won't edit out. And then boom, it goes on there. We're going to get some great sound bites. Luke, a little NFL talk here for all the A-Rod haters, Aaron Rodgers haters out there. A lot of people said, oh, Aaron Rodgers isn't showing up till training camp. He is probably not even going to show up to training camp. Just going to show up week one. Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay as we speak for mandatory minicamp that is beginning tomorrow for the Green Bay Packers. So for all you haters out there, the guy is going to build with his team. I saw as well that Matthew Stafford is going to be at mandatory minicamp for the LA Rams. Tom Brady's going to be there for the Bucs. So all the veteran quarterbacks that everybody was freaking out over that weren't showing up to the voluntary OTAs, which are glorified workouts, now they're actually getting in some football play. I'm fine with the veterans coming back right now. Still no word on Lamar Jackson going to mandatory minicamp. I'm sure that's the contract dispute going on right now. Personally, give him 40 mil if I was the Ravens, because a lot of guys are making 40 mil that probably shouldn't be making 40 mil, especially if he's on a short leash. If the guy retires at 30 because he's taking too many hits, at least you signed him to one big deal to lock him up for the rest of his career, so he's not tempted to go down to his hometown team, that being the Miami Dolphins, which has been rumored and reported over the last year that Lamar has been putting the blinders on and eyeing Miami, but we will see how that works out. Luke, quick question for you here about the wide receivers on new teams. Mm-hmm. Which do you think will have a better season this upcoming year? Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, or AJ Brown? Better season, I'm not talking like yards in general, but I would guess the most impact on the team coming, you know, throughout the entire season. Personally, even though I'm very upset that he left Green Bay, obviously, he is one of the best in the game, top two, not two, as he said. So I would say Davante Adams, adding him to that Las Vegas team is very critical for their offense. Now, can Derek Carr get him the ball as well as Aaron Rodgers did? Time will tell. But I do believe Davante Adams will have the most impact on the Raiders this coming season.
I think all three will probably take a step back mm-hmm. from what we're used to, but I agree that Davante Adams will be the best because he has the best quarterback with him. And maybe, we'll see, maybe the best play caller in Josh McDaniels if we know he's a good offensive coordinator, but will the head coach 2.0 go better this time for McDaniels? So I'll say Adams. I'm lowest on A.J. Brown. And then Tyreek Hill, the saving grace is that I saw this stat over the weekend where Jimmy Garoppolo had the fewest yards in the air per pass attempt, but the most yards per attempt. And to boil that down to simple terms, the Niners have led the league in yards after the catch the last 3 years. Probably in large part because of Debo Samuel. But that's Mike McDaniel now in Miami with Tyreek Hill. Maybe Tyreek will play a similar role. So Tyreek Hill in that offense could be big for the Dolphins. But I think the safest play is Davante Adams.
I would agree with you there. Yeah, I mean, you got to think, too, Jalen Waddle, who had a great, you know, end of the season last year, his rookie year. By the way, absolutely love his touchdown celebration. I don't know if there's anything better than doing the Waddle as soon as you get into the end zone when your last name is Waddle. That's unbelievable. But we will see, like, how Mike McDaniel, his genius brain, his Yale brain, works Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, arguably the two fastest guys in the NFL, now on the same side of the offense. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it is. And that's an interesting idea about Lamar Jackson, right? Because the quarterback is the one thing that's lacking for Miami. And so if Tua's not up to the test this year, I imagine the Dolphins will be willing to move on already. And if Lamar Jackson doesn't sign some sort of contract and he's looking to move, now you take Lamar into that offense. That's quite the upgrade over Tua. You got all the other pieces. I know we're getting a year ahead of ourselves here, and it's a real hypothetical, but that would be fascinating for Miami.
I couldn't imagine Mike McDaniel calling plays for Lamar Jackson with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle on the offense. That would be something special.
Yeah, that'd be a good situation to step into as a first-time head coach. We'll see how things go in Miami. They have all the pieces. The big question is, of course, the quarterback, and then the head coach is a first-time head coach. And those are probably the two biggest questions any team faces every year in the NFL. Those are the two most important parts. So they are two big questions for Miami, but they have some good building blocks down there. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour two. A rare win for NC State. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Wrapping up hour two here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. A rare victory for NC State over the weekend. NC State has had such bad luck where, you know, they got sent home from the College World Series due to COVID last year. You had the no contest in their bowl game because of UCLA. You had NC State have to go play UConn in the women's tournament in Connecticut. This year, NC State left completely out of the baseball tournament, which a lot of Wolfpack fans feel like, you know, they were slighted. Well, over the weekend, we had the return of that cheese race in England. In Gloucester, I think. Is that how you say it? I know there's Gloucester, Mass., Massachusetts. And the winner is a recent graduate, just graduated last month from NC State. She's from North Carolina. Her name is Abby Lampe. Just graduated from NC State. She's backpacking through other countries, and she wanted to be there for the cheese roll. It's an annual race in England. We've talked about it on the show before. It's a 200-yard hill. Downhill, it's pretty steep, and you have to chase after an 8-pound round of cheese that they roll down in front of you. And you can find the video online. She took a beating on her way down, but she got to the cheese first, and she won. And she was interviewed afterwards and said she feels fine, was never knocked unconscious. Go watch the video. It's pretty wild. Anyways, I've been in touch with Abby this morning. We're trying to get her on the show tomorrow to talk about this cheese race, because that's what I'm most interested. Forget game three of the finals. I want to hear about this cheese race in England from over the weekend. Congrats to NC State on getting a rare victory. Hour three next.